Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to I Am Resistance and the End Times. This broadcast is dedicated to creating a culture of resistance to industrial civilization. Resistance to the evisceration of the living world, the land base, and the exploitation of all creatures by the corporatocracy and the oligarchy that enslaves our minds. Resistance to the vicious culture of occupation that supports violence and oppression. We seek truth in a culture of lies, patriarchy, cruelty, and kitsch. This is a call to action to those who will listen. The cry to unite and resist to stop this toxic culture before it is too late. We must defend and restore the land base before it is uninhabitable. We must work to end the exploitation of all life and learn to live as awake moral beings in tune with nature. It is our only hope for the future of the living world that we are destroying right now. This insane culture must be stopped. Rebellion is the only way, and radical feminism is the guide to all who want to dismantle, not reform, the domination cultures. Industrial civilization can and must be dismantled and never allowed to be again. We must build a culture of resistance to fight the madness of industrial civilization. We must fight. We must support resistance wherever we see it. That's the topic of today's show. There's a strategy. Read The Decisive Ecological Warfare in the book The Deep Brain Resistance. Read it immediately. There are many great books. I couldn't, read Endgame. Read so many books that you can. Read Sacred Demise. Read everything you can. We must recognize the reality that we're in. Thank you. Good morning, my fellow livestock and resistors. I am Jeff, and today is February 7, 2015. Check that. Make sure you check that date, NSA, so you know when I'm talking. Check out our Facebook page, I Am Resistance. Give it a like. I have gotten like 70 likes this week. Hey, thank you all. Have a listen here. I hope those who listen to the page or check out the page or like the page, come and have a listen. Have a chat. Come and talk to me. Share your thoughts with me. So yeah, check out I Am Resistance. You can also email me at inquiringsage@gmail.com. There's also a blog that I never use, but I will someday. Give me time. You know, I'm a busy man. So this is my blog right here. So if any of you want to transcribe that and throw it on my blog, I'd appreciate it. Thanks. You know, I know you all aren't busy at all. So yeah, there's also a call-in. You can call in 646-915-9912, 646-915-9912. I might even remember to say that again later, though it is most likely not going to happen. There's also a live chat. You can just, you know, ask questions and scream, you know, write horrible, you know, things to say to me, and I will just cry. So yeah, you can do all that, those of you that want to listen, which is none of you, so that's okay. So I give this blog to the world because clearly I have nothing better to do. So come join the talk if you want. Again, 646-915-9912. As always, I'm here on Saturdays, some days not, because why? I'm busy, life goes forward. So what I want to talk about today is resistance. Talk about the topic of resistance. It just popped into my mind, as often things will do, and what does it mean to be resistant? Interesting. And you know, I'm a professor at times in my life, and I teach and all sorts of fun stuff and coerce children to conform to civilization and all that fun stuff. So, you know, I was thinking about resistance. And resistance has both negative and positive, shall we say, has interesting connotations. It denotes, you know, that fancy word for opposing something, for trying to withstand something. I like that, you know. So, you know, it also has a sense that, you know, you're being resistant to, you know, conformity. You know, it's presented as a form of a roadblock to critical thinking. It's presented as a way of a sort of, when challenged, we resist. So if I say to somebody who's deeply embedded in industrial civilization that everything that they know is just a lie and they're slaves, they're very resistant to that idea. Nobody's going to accept, very few, that they are a slave. So because the illusion of freedom is so powerful, because it's fed to us from birth, this idea of self-determination, this total abject lie that we're free, when we know clearly we're only as free as the masters will allow us to be. We're free to consume, but only consume what they give us. We're not free to not do what they tell us. We're not free to not work if we don't want to. There's no place to go. We're not free to not be part of civilization. And when we try to go away, like the hill people have historically, they just get conquered. When anyone tries to run away from or resist civilization, they just get conquered, because civilization is a very powerful dimensional reality that is relentless. This system, this penal colony is the Borg. See the reference? We're the zombies going and attacking any sort of freedom and subjugating it to the will of industrialization and civilization, which is the propagation of cities. So when we talk about resistance, people ask me, what am I supposed to do? Hold that thought. What am I supposed to do? Hold that thought, I say. Hold that thought. So when we're presented with a situation where we're challenged, the common response is to be resistant, to have a sense of denial, to not think about it. I know this because I live in this culture. It's not only a denial, it's a type of delusion. Now, what we'll say as the dominant culture is those who resist are immature, like an immature defense mechanism, rigid, impulsive, maladaptive, non-analytical. We'll say, well, why don't you want to be part of this? Why don't you want to sit in a desk and you know, learn mathematics? Don't you want to have a job when you grow up? Don't you want to be a part of this system? And if you say no, then you're just labeled crazy or emotionally disturbed. So there's these barriers that you know, that we say put up. But that's the dominant culture saying, well, why wouldn't you want to conform? Why wouldn't you want to play along? So again, people hear all sorts of stuff, and then especially my rhetoric, and they immediately say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but what can we do? And I always say, hold up. You're putting the cart before the horse. First, understand what's being said here. Understand the reality that you're in. Understand the penal colony that you are raised in. First, understand that. First, let's get that down. You know, as Stefan Modiur says, to see that you're free is both really, really difficult and really, really simple. It's like we know we're dominated. We know we're subjugated and oppressed, and we're living in an extreme culture of violence, and if I don't conform, I'm pretty much going to be killed or incarcerated or banished. Incarceration is as good as banishment. So we're terrified. So what we try to say to ourselves is, well, how can I just make myself try to cope with my enslavement? But that's not what's happening. We're really living to say, how can I delude myself? So I think that's sort of Huxley's point. And I've mentioned Huxley many times. And Huxley, you know, is very concerned about, you know, what's happening. And so it's very difficult. But let me read to you a quote that I've read before. It's an excellent quote. It says, there will be, in the next generation or so, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies so that people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it, because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by psychopharmacological methods. This seems to be the final solution. And he's again referencing Nazi Germany's final solution, which was to commit genocide against the Jewish people. So this final solution is to so indoctrinate us, but also that we want to be indoctrinated, we want to obey, that we are such willing participants to obey, to follow, to believe that we will walk because it's in our enlightened self-interest to believe. We will walk into the painless concentration camp with eyes wide open, saying, please, take me. Like, when we watched The Matrix, and that one character said, well, I'd rather be in The Matrix because at least there I have the delusion or illusion that I'm comfortable, that I'm eating steak, that I look and feel good, as opposed to here in reality where we're saying, oh, well, in reality it's nasty, brutish, and short. The same mentality we say about, you know, the primitive life, it's nasty, brutish, and short. Don't you want to be with us? So again, people say, what can I do? First, see what is. See what's happening. See the reality. Don't try to problem solve until you understand what the problem is and how complicit you are in it, how I am, how we are all apologists and collaborators. So when the future looks back on us, they will say, you all should be killed for your collaboration. You should be punished for your collaboration. What did you do to resist the decimation of the living world? What did you do to stop industrial civilization? What did you do? But again, people will go, well, yeah, what could I do? Again, I say, I know we're running out of time, but first see what's happening. See what it is that you need to resist. Don't be immature, you know, in that sense. Don't be maladaptive or impulsive or rigid. See reality. see industrial civilization and what it's doing. See what consumerism is doing. You don't need to go and become a scholar. I get that. But we need to understand that we are in this concentration camp and that we are part of this concentration camp and we facilitate this concentration camp full on. See your part in it and let that sink in. See our part in it and let that sink in. And read and think. Think hard. Because there's no easy answer here, and there's no good outcomes. There's no good outcomes here. But first, let's understand that we are here to dismantle industrial civilization, not reform it. Not to just prop up, not just to disperse power, which is what revolutions have been, to disperse power, to create a new, more free, which we know is a lie. It's just power switching hands. Every empire says it's going to do it better, and in this case, it's always a lie. It's about we get power, and then we dominate with that power. We dominate with that power endlessly, and we don't stop. We don't let go of it. So people want to know what we need to do before they understand what's really happening, what's been happening. So we need to do that bit of work. To understand the great lie. As John Trudell says, it's on my little thing. The great lie is that civilization, but this is civilization. The great lie is that this is civilization. It's not civilized. It has literally been the most bloodthirsty, brutalizing system ever imposed upon this planet. This is not civilization. This is the great lie. Or if it does represent civilization, and that is truly what civilization is, then the great lie is that civilization is good for us. Oh, John Trudell, how you teach me. So we have to resist all those narratives. And what we do know, as Nietzsche says, people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed, that I can have a happy life, that I can somehow in this cesspool be able to be a good person, and that I just want to live my life, and I just want to be a regular Joe and do my best, and all the platitudes and psychobabble, and again, that psychopharmacology that's given to you. Life is so difficult. People are so unhappy because they think there is such a thing as happiness in this delusion. When, as Daniel Quinn says, the world of takers is one vast prison. And except for a handful of levers scattered across the world, the entire human race is now inside that prison. And so we're traumatized, and we're all like prisoners, and we all like sit around our food and we covet it because it's all about possession. We covet our position. We covet our happiness, and we don't let go. We don't leave and let the life system be. We just take and take and take. We don't see anything. We just think that if we just change this or that, or if we just reform this or that, but I still want my Xbox. I still want to be able to live in this house. I still want to consume 5 to 10 times more than people in Africa. I want my stuff when I want it. I still want to be in this ultimate state of comfort. I want the unsustainable to be sustainable, which is just straight up delusional. I want to live ethnocentrically and egocentrically and pretend that I'm good. I want to accept my hegemony and not resist it. I want to lie to myself that I can be just, when in fact, I just blow enough smoke up my butt and watch enough television and watch enough sports, buy into this psychosociology of lies. The system that's sucking us dry, and people run around begging for meaning all the time. They act out. They're just constantly grabbing for something. And that's Zygmunt Bauman's point, is that we're trying on all these identities, and the whole nature of psychology and identity is an illusion, a delusion promoted by the dominant culture to keep us confused. So keep us confused. So then you need therapy. You need treatment. And then you go to them and they teach you how to conform. They give you drugs to keep you docile and stupid. And we beg for it. We beg for it because we're so traumatized. And why are we traumatized? And that's what we don't see. We don't see how mind our mind is, how we're imprinted, as John Trudell was, a trauma. And I'm going to read his spoken word in a moment. You know, how traumatized we are. And we're disconnected. We're cut off. That's the penal colony. We're so cut off, we can't see, but we're reaching out. We're begging for nourishment, and we can't accept it, even when it's right in our face. That's the horror. That's the atrocity of civilization. It's not a tragedy. It's a atrocity. Allow me to read. As I've read this before, so I'm going to read it again, because if I could find it and put it on here, I would. It's on there somewhere. It's on the internet somewhere. But this is from his spoken word, and I'm going to read it again. I read it once or twice over the last couple of years. I actually transcribed this myself, so you're welcome. If you'd like a copy, let me know. And again, it's John Trudell, not me. As human beings, it is our responsibility to recognize reality. Recognize the reality we're in. To recognize reality means you look at a thing every which way a thing can be looked at until you see it and you can recognize it. Or we can judge reality. And when we judge reality, once again, our ability to recognize is limited by our prejudices of our judgment. We have been imprinted with words that neutralize the feelings that is being projected by the thought. Yeah, spend some time with that one. To believe and to think. You can't do both. Either we're going to believe or we're going to think. We project electromagnetic energy when we think. So when we're thinking, energy is flowing. When we believe, we're taking that flowing energy and putting it into the box. There is energy that should be going to find its way into the universe so that we can create solutions being put into the box of belief. I think that technologic civilization does this to suppress and erase the memory of the human being from us and turn us into citizens, turn us into race and culture and class, turn us all into these things that they can then turn and make divisive. We are in a dimensional reality where we don't communicate as human beings. We don't identify as human beings because of the distortions and imprintings that have been layered and embedded into our consciousness. Wherever all these identities and things are, I want to speak to you as a human being. We feel through the being and we act through the human. And our intelligence, this is the thing that sets it all into motion. Everything that happens is by how we perceive reality. It is based on our intelligence. Our intelligence, that's power. So whatever's going on, it's not about the absence of power. We have power. It's just that we have been imprinted in a distorted way to perceive reality. We've been imprinted with trauma to perceive reality through a traumatized mentality. So we use the power of our creative intelligence to feed on ourselves. And that industrial ruling class is like mining for them. They mine the energy of that being through how they imprint the human to perceive reality. They mine the energy of the being through how they imprint the human to perceive reality. The same way they mine oil, the same way they mine uranium. They mine the human being through how they imprint our perceptual reality, how they manipulate our intelligence. While they are mining the part of the human with how they imprint to perceive reality, it leaves behind poison and toxic. And this poison and toxic are the fears and doubts and insecurities that become part of our perceptual reality. And once this sets in, we participate in the reality based upon the perceptions of our inabilities and fears. Our intelligence is the fuel that runs this so-called system. There are certain things that we just need to look at. Every generation has responsibility to create the living reality, and the way you want to live with the earth. It's not right. We have the responsibility to do this, and it is irresponsible when we keep ourselves chained to dark age controlling thoughts that are going to mess up the lineage of our descendants. So we have to think about certain things. Whatever this disease of aggression, violence, and greed is, whatever this diseased mentality is, it lives in this life system now. It's eating up the spirit. You look at the leadership, or you look at the institutions and things that are held up in such esteem, none of these seem to have any spiritual relationship to life. When we leave as humans, we go back to being. Being human, being. Human being. That reality means something. But we live in a reality now, a time where I would say to anyone, protect your spirit. Protect your spirit. Because you are in a place where spirits get eaten. End quote. Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't know if any, I've studied philosophy and the great minds for 20 years, and nothing speaks to me so drastically as that. So rich in thinking, so deep. And you see that civilization in there is, we're just mind minds. We're domesticated farm animals. And when we go to try to figure out how to leave this system, we only do it within the parameters that the system has allowed us to think. So we're trapped always because we can't see the fence. We're blind to the fences. And so that frustration, and we have a very low frustration tolerance, that's why we kill so rapidly. we can't handle it. It's a downer, man. It makes me depressed. It makes me have to think as opposed to believe. Believe that I'm going, that everything's going to be okay, that I'm going to be happy, that I'm going to get what I want, and that I'm going to get to do this, and I'm going to get to do that, and I'm going to get to do this, I'm going to go to Disneyland, that I can dilute myself long enough so that I can live this shithole of a life and then die. That's what we get to look forward to. And what do we leave for future generations? Lies. And a decimated reality, a decimated life system, where they'll be, as Derek Jensen says, you know, they'll be sitting on a river they can't drink, starving to death, and they'll say, why, damn you, why did you do this to us? Why? Let me read to you Stanley Milgram, because we're going to come back to that next week, because this is good stuff, and I want to spend more time with it. Stanley Milgram, the social psychologist that did that really cool experiment back in the 60s, you can watch it, just go and look at Obedience, Stanley Milgram. He said, ordinary people simply doing their jobs without any particular hostilities on their part can become agents of a terrible destructive process. Moreover, even when the destructive effects of their work become patently clear and they are asked to carry out actions incompatible with fundamental standards of morality, relatively few people have the resources needed to resist authority. Let's explore that next time, shall we? Why is there so little resources? I've covered this before, but we need to talk about what resistance is some more and what resistance really can be. Resistance, by a definition, is the act or power of resisting, opposing, or withstanding. We must resist this toxic life system. We must oppose it and withstand it and create an underground organization composed of groups of private individuals working as an opposing force. And we are conquered, ladies and gentlemen. We are conquered. Until next time, this is I Am Resistance. I leave you with an excellent tune.